And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice. Hello, and welcome to our program, Lifestyle Improvement. This is your host, Rebecca. Today, we have with us Cade Wild. Cade Wild is the author of the book, Autistic Logistics, A Parent's Guide to Tackling Bedtime, Toilet Training, Tantrums, Hitting, and Other Everyday Challenges. Ms. Wild is also the director of the Sunrise Program and has worked at the Autism Treatment Center of America for over 20 years. She has worked with over 1,500 children and their families from all over the world. Ms. Wild is the dean of professional training at the center and has traveled all over and around North America, Europe, and Asia, lecturing in behalf of the Autism Treatment Center of America. Today, she has been gracious enough to join us all the way from Massachusetts to tell us more about how to help children with the diagnosis create meaningful, caring relationships with the people in their lives and the people they love. But more specifically, how to address some of the more challenging issues that parents of children with the diagnosis of autism have to address every day. Hello, Ms. Wild. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
So I feel so grateful to be able to be speaking to you and all your listeners. And so thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. So let me get right to the heart of the matter. I had a chance to look at your website that has the name of your book, autisticlogistics.com. And there you tell part of your very interesting life story. You say that you started your journey when you got inspired by watching the movie Sunrise, A Miracle of Love, which is actually the movie that depicts the life of Ron K. Kaufman, correct?
Yes, that's totally true.
So you say in your life story the following statement referring to the movie, I believe, and it was also my first introduction to the concept that love and acceptance is the most powerful force for healing and change. So talk to me about all of this from this standpoint and how it relates to what you're doing today.
Yes. Oh, well, that is such an awesome, amazing question. Now, I remember when I watched the movie, I was only 13, right? And it was that concept and the concept that such a challenge such as autism, which people believe that you couldn't help in any way, that you could actually recover from that and you could be helped in many different ways with that. Both those concepts at just the young age of 13 completely amazed me. I'd never heard anything like it before. And so, and I just love the idea that embracing something was actually helping it versus judging it and thinking it's a bad thing. I was just very drawn to that idea. And of course, I think what I resonated with it as a child, because I had had experiences of being judged and experience of being loved, and I felt very different in both experiences. And I had experiences of being taught by teachers who were really fun, and I had a sense that they enjoyed me and they liked me, and teachers who I really felt didn't. And I couldn't learn from them, right? So I think that we can all resonate with that in so many different ways. And particularly our children that we're talking about and the children that I really work with every single day and have most of my life is children on the autism spectrum are so misunderstood. They're often people believe that they're being naughty or they're doing something wrong and they're not doing the right thing. So they're often judged, not intentionally, right? But they're just misunderstood in so many different ways. So it's harder for them to be reached, right? Because people are right off the bat, they have this sense of being judged. And what we see again and again and again, if you see them really as the beautiful beings that they are, and you approach them with, even if they're doing something that looks so strange to you, like turning around in circles and making beeping noises and not looking at you, or children I work with, they might take their poo and smear it on the walls, or they're screaming all night long. These are big challenges that parents face every single day that are hard. They may not meet them first with love or acceptance, right? But again and again, when we do that, we see that children come towards us and are able to learn things that at first seem so challenging for them to learn, because it really opens the door for them to reach out to us in that way. That's the energy, really.
In your website, you also talk about, very vividly, by the way, about your first experience working with a child that had the diagnosis of autism.
I was working, and because all throughout my teenage years, I went everywhere I could, since I watched the movie, actually, to be around children with autism and special children. So I think I was around 14 or so at that time, maybe 15. And I was working in a play scheme, which is during the summer holidays. This school would open its doors for lots of children who had special needs, and then there'll be lots of volunteers going to help them out. And I had the good fortune to meet this young girl. She was just so awesome. And even though we were more or less the same age, she was way taller than me, way taller. And she had a helmet on, because she would bang her head a lot. So she had a helmet to protect her head. And she also had these really high, she used to walk on her toes. So she had these really specially designed shoes made that had like a big heel on it. So she could still walk on her toes and wear shoes, very high heels, basically, like a wedge. And basically the first moment we met each other, she just put her arm around my neck, like in a headlock, got me in a headlock and just charged out the door and around the playing field at that time. And I remember thinking, because like I'm like, at last, I met a child on the autism spectrum. I was like so happy about that. And I remember the movie, which talked about really loving and accepting what the child wants to do, what this girl wanted to do. So I was really trying to get myself, even though I was in a headlock, I didn't know where we were going. I'm like, okay, I'm all right. I'm going to enjoy this. And we basically walked around the field, right? She was walking and watching a white line, and we walked it around so many times, right? And I'm like, I'm right there. So this is cool. I'm going to walk with her. I'm going to try and get her to do anything. Basically, it's a Sunrise Program technique called joining. I'm going to do what she wants me to do, right? And be really user friendly and feel good about her. So that's how we first started to form a relationship together and to bond together over the summer, was that she had a real sense from me that I was going to love and accept her. I wasn't going to move against her. And then I was paired with her every single time, because I was the only person that she would be with when she didn't bang her head with.
So she trusted you.
She trusted me because I wasn't about to stop her. I was trusting her. She trusted me. I trusted she was doing something for a reason. And we really made friends. And I'll never forget her.
That's a wonderful story. Absolutely a wonderful story. And obviously something that began your awareness and your appreciation.
Oh, yes. It really helped me. It really solidified, actually, what I'd learned in the movie about joining, that all our children are doing things for a very, very particular reason, and the power of joining in with them, because we made such a strong connection with one another. And that really solidified and set up the way that I definitely wanted to work with children in my life, which was really believing in that, adopting a particular attitude.
Right. And that connection being such a pivotal and important factor as part of the Sunrise Program.
Oh, yes, yes. That's at the very heart and center of the Sunrise Program, definitely. Yes, yes.
So also in your life story, you talk about doing some studies in London with the author of the book, Breakthrough of an Autistic Child and Creative Listening.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I worked in a clinic called Children's Hours, and I worked with a young woman, but she really wasn't a young woman. She was 80 years old when I met her, and she was still working with children. She was incredibly talented, and she too believed in an attitude of love and acceptance. She didn't actually join in with the children, but she really had a particular attitude, and she taught me a lot while I was there. And it was when I was working with her and like kind of an apprenticeship with her, there was a family that came to the center that had this beautiful, beautiful young girl. She was 3 years old. She had autism. She had long black ringlety hair, and she loved to tap blocks on her teeth. And they were coming over to the United States to do the Sunrise Program right? But I had no idea what they were doing at that time. They were just coming over the state to the States to do a program, and they asked me to come along with them. And I just jumped at the chance because, wow, you know, I just still wanted to learn as much as I could. And they were, I was what, 21 or something like that, right? I know. And literally they asked me, and 3 days later, I was on a plane coming over to the States. But it wasn't until the second day that I was here that when they showed us the Sunrise movie that I realized that I was in the same place. The people who founded this, that founded the organization I was at, were the same people that I had, that story was depicted in the movie that I watched.
Who is that for a mission accomplished?
This is your host, Rebecca. And now we will take a short break, and we will be right back with more ideas on lifestyle improvement.
A unique and specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuka Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified Nuka practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50-point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how Nuka Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
But it wasn't until the second day that I was here that when they showed us the Sunrise movie that I realized that I was in the same place. The people who founded this, that founded the organization I was at, were the same people that I had, that story was depicted in the movie that I watched.
Who is that for a mission accomplished?
Wow. It was like, if anyone believes in destiny, it was definitely destiny.
That is so cool. So you know one thing, you are exactly where you're supposed to be.
Exactly. I really, really believe that, like, hugely. And, you know, and I knew that I had found the methodology that I wanted to work in, which is the Sunrise program at the Autism Treatment Center of America, because, you know, when I was here, that I had a lot of experience up until that point, even though I was 21, I done a lot of different programs. And there was the Sunrise program had two particular things within the same methodology that was so powerful and amazing to me. One is that the staff here, everybody I met, they were just so amazing in the way they loved Kaylee, who was the little girl that I came with. They loved her and delighted in her and enjoyed her no matter what she was doing in every moment. Like, you could feel it, like, drip off them. Like, it was so, you could really sense that. It was amazing. It was very powerful. And at the same time as doing that, they were incredibly powerful and effective in asking her to grow and change. And she did before my very eyes. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it, really. So I knew that I wanted to come back and train more.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that very inspirational story. It just sounds like you went full circle from that day that you were watching that movie at 13 to where you are right now. And it was all just kind of part of this big plan for your life.
I know. And I think about this all the time, because the little boy, Ron Kaufman, who was depicted in the movie that I watched when I was 13, he's now one of my dearest and closest friends, right?
Well, great. Now let's talk a little bit more about your book, Autistic Logistic. Again, A Parent's Guide to Tackling Bedtime, Toilet Training, Tantrums, Hitting, and Other Everyday Challenges. That is a mouthful, because there is really so much to it. Your book really is very, very broad, and it just has a lot of incredibly great suggestions for parents that are struggling with this. Your book seems to be very unique in the way it addresses these issues. So tell me a little bit more about What's different in your book?
Yeah, because there are other books that address these issues, definitely on the market. Those books tend to come from a very particular point of view, which is they're trying to stop children doing something, right? Stop them hitting, stop them crying, stop them pooing on the floor, right? We take, and Autistic Logistics takes a very different view, which is when they're trying to stop, usually they don't come from the perspective of really trying to understand why our children are doing what they're doing, right? And then because they don't understand where our children are coming from or the real root reason as why our children are doing what they're doing, then and they're just coming from a stopping point of view, then there's a battle that often happens, right? So the techniques aren't always that effective, right? And they're much harder for parents to put into practice. One thing about all the techniques that I've outlined in the book that come from the Sunrise program is that parents tell me again and again, oh, it's just so easy to implement. Oh, it's much more in line with what I want to do, right? And basically that's because in the book, I come from a different perspective, which is first, let's try and understand why our children are crying. Let's understand why they're crying first, or why are they hitting, or why are they pooping on the floor over there? And I give different things that they could do to really start to observe that and understand, because of course, every child is different. And then from that perspective, instead of trying to stop them, what the book's all about is trying to invite them to do something else, right? Make it much more motivating and exciting to sit on the toilet and pee in the toilet or to be gentle or whatever it might be that you're working on at that time, or to eat broccoli and new food. And because of that, it's much funner for a parent to do. And obviously much more funner and inviting for the child also.
I'm glad you mentioned that word understand, because that was exactly the next thing I was going to ask you. What do you mean when you say in your book, understand your children's experience?
Yes. Wow. That's like quite a big question too, right? Yes. Which is really, it's a great question. It's coming from this perspective, which is our children do a lot of really unusual things, right? Some of them don't learn to potty train in the same way that our typical children do, right? Sometimes they hit and bite more than our typical children do sometimes. And it's when we say understanding where they're coming from, it's understanding how their body works and how their body is different from our typical children. Because I think that we can really say that our children on the autism spectrum's brains are very different, right? So if their brains are very different, they're going to experience the world very different. And it comes from really the fact that they're experiencing sensory input very different than we are or our typical children are. So some of our children, they might find sounds so overwhelming, right? Or they hear every single sound at the same volume just tumbling towards them. And some of your listeners may know that because their children start to scream at certain sounds, or they put their hands over their ears, right? Some of our children have experienced touch very differently. And your listeners may see that because as soon as they come home from school, they take all their clothes off, for instance. Right. Or if they fall down, they don't acknowledge or seem to feel pain in any way, or know whether they're hungry or whether they're thirsty. So their body's signals are very different in some way. Some children intensely smells like in a really overpowering way. So then, and actually I tell a story in my book about a child actually who had an overpowering sense of smell. And his parents actually did phone consultations with me because he was about to be expelled from his special school. Isn't that amazing? You could actually be expelled from your special school. But and because what he would do is during lunch times, he would start to hit other children or take their food and like throw it away. And because the school, doing the best that they can, were coming from, I've got to stop this behavior. They weren't first starting to see, oh, let's understand what's happening and what the experience is. But we took a different view. It's like, okay, so I take the view as like he's doing something that's helping him, right? Somehow it's helping him in some way. And we figured it out together. It took a while, but we figured out that he had an intense reaction to the smell of bananas, right? Because every outburst that he had was with the presence of bananas at lunchtime. And he actually had words and could speak in sentences, but he didn't have the vocabulary to know that was going on, because he didn't know that everybody didn't smell lessons, right? He wasn't able to communicate that. So then we knew it wasn't to talk to him about not hitting, right? It was really to help him with what can he do when he has an overpowering smell, basically. And he wasn't expelled. We helped him through that. We could help him from that place, because you get to the root cause of it much more quickly that way.
And not only does it make sense, but it definitely seems to be a helpful way of guiding the communication of these children that have such difficult time.
Yes, exactly.
You also mention in your book that one has to believe in the child's ability to learn. Such an exciting concept that it seems to be like, you know, this should be one of those concepts that are not something that we really need to think about. It seems with children that have special needs, sometimes there's a focus on all the things that they cannot do instead of the things they can.
Yes. Yeah, yes, definitely, people. And that comes from the stopping thing. But it's also the belief that if you're born with autism or any disability, you have somehow your learning gets cut off. And I, you know, sometimes professionals are actually taught this, that they can only go so far. You mustn't reach too high hopes. And if he can't do this now, he's never going to be able to do that. But that, in our opinion here, and we've seen this again at the Autism Treatment Center of America, again and again and again, that if you have that perspective, then you limit a child's growth. Because what happens is it becomes a fulfilling prophecy and you stop trying. And if you stop trying and you don't give our children opportunities to do the things that they can't do right now, how are they supposed to be able to do them, really? So we really, really, really believe in having a strong belief that our children can learn anything, absolutely anything. What we don't know is how long it's going to take them, that's for sure. But we absolutely always come from the perspective that it's totally possible. And if we start from where they are, let's give them the opportunity, let's have fun going towards it. And also something I've experienced in my work with so many delightful children is that they want to learn. I've never worked with a child who doesn't want to learn and isn't trying their very best every single moment to come towards what I'm helping them to do. For some reason, I think in the special needs community, in some special needs community, people are afraid of really believing in our children, really, and giving them the opportunity. One thing that we have and the Sunrise Program has and really believes in is persistence. Because if we give a child an opportunity to do something and they don't do it, we say, next time, baby, next time.
And I think that one of the things that you probably have to deal with when you're approaching treatment that way are people saying, well, you're giving parents false hope. You know, you really need to be very realistic. I'm just assuming that is one of the things you probably have to deal with pretty often.
Yes, yes, yes. People do say things like that. I don't quite understand it myself, how you can have false hope. Really, the definition of hope, the belief that what is wanted can be had, that's what it's defined, right? And is the belief that what is wanted can be had, right? That's the definition of hope. Now, let's look at all what we're hoping for, and all the listeners are hoping for theirs, whether they're typical or they're on the autism spectrum, is we want our children to reach their highest potential, whatever that might be, right? That's all we want. We want them to be able to learn and grow. Now, what's wrong with that? So when people are saying not to hope for that, that seems like a dead end for our children in some sense, because when we hope, we act, right? So if I can be hopeful that my child can learn, then I'm going to give them the opportunity to do that. So we see it as an essential thing for all human beings to have in the morning, whether they're working with a child with autism or whether I'm just getting up and I have hopes for my day. So we see it as an essential and very powerful. And who am I to say that a child can't learn? Who is anybody to say that they can't learn?
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice.
Thank you for tuning in to Lifestyle Improvement today for part one of our interview with Kate Wild. Kate Wild is the author of the book, Autistic Logistics, A Parent's Guide to Tackling Bedtime, Toilet Training, Tantrums, Hitting, and Other Everyday Challenges. Ms. Wild is also the director of the Sunrise Program and has worked at the Autism Treatment Center of America for over 20 years. If you would like to advertise with us, please give us a call at 877-957-7387, extension 101. That again is 877-957-7387, extension 101. Or send us an email to producer@lifestyleimprovement.com. That again is producer@lifestyleimprovement.com. Thanks again for joining us today here on Lifestyle Improvement. And don't forget to join us again next Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8 for part two of our interview with Kate Wild.